to Theatre Audience Podcast. I'm Natalie, joined by Darren, and we bring you the news, reviews and recommendations of the latest theatre.
We'll be discussing what's on, what's been and gone, and the next hot ticks.
So we're back at mine, and I've made a lovely pot of jasmine tea, because I know it's one of your favourites.
It is one of my favourites, and especially on a Sunday evening, it's nice and light, aromatic, that kind of thing.
Lovely.
I know, right? September's been very busy for us both, hasn't it?
We have been at the theatre quite a lot, and also at the same time, but seeing different things.
I know.
There was a period in the middle of last week where I think there was all this stuff we were just posting on the Insta. It was quite exciting, actually. I was like, oh wow, you're seeing that and I'm seeing this.
Yeah.
So what was the first thing that you saw this month?
The first thing I saw in September was A Different Stage, which is the one-man show Gary Barlow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Perfect for the fans. If you're a big fan of Take That and Gary Barlow, you'll love it.
Are you?
I don't mind, you know. I'm not you know, against him as much.
Fan now, having seen the show.
I'm more interested in his life story than I ever was before, and it's nice to actually see something quite raw. He spoke a lot about his family life and stuff like that, and his music and things like that. It was good. It was a lot of the old songs were played. You know, some of this history of where we started out and stuff. It was worth seeing. Definitely worth seeing if you're a fan, because I think you'd really, really get a lot from it. But yeah.
So it was a one-man show. He talked through his life and interspersed it and sang live?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's...
Was this on a par with the Ian McKellen one-man show talking about his life?
Not quite the same there, but, you know, less Shakespeare, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's did a tour, went to the West End. It's there's a DVD. I know, right?
DVD?
I know,
do
right?
Do we still...
I don't know.
How do you do that? You need an external disk drive.
Yeah, you do. Oh, really, wow. Do you? Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Just live stream somewhere. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
okay,
if it goes on tour again, definitely worth seeing. But yeah.
Okay.
It's enjoyable.
Right. We both saw Horseplay.
We did.
But separately.
Yes.
I was at the press night. You were at a press night for something else, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute. Talk to me. That was. Do you know what? It was lovely going to the Riverside Studios. I have not been for a long, long time, years and years back. It was...
It's the new building
Chris
now.
Evans. When I used to do my TV show and I used to sit in the green room with Chris Evans. But, I mean, we're talking 22
years ago. Don't forget your toothbrush.
Years ago. We're talking 22 years ago. So it's been a long time. It's been completely refurbished,
Oh, it's knocked down, rebuilt, yeah.
Beautiful, really nice venue. I enjoyed the venue.
Yes. Yeah, it's nice. It was nice to see, you know, a piece of new writing from an old friend of mine, Ian Hallard, directed by Mark Gatiss and starred the gorgeous David Ames. But yeah, it was fun.
It was an interesting story. It was fun. It was, I feel, maybe more of a Friday night drinking show. You know, like you go, it's a social event. It was very,
it's a
very
camp. Fast. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a farce. Near the mark, naughty.
Yeah.
Good.
I know.
You know. Naughty. An enjoyable night out. It's not running anymore.
No,
it was a short run.
Really, a short run, yeah.
Good.
Studios. No, when you was at the press night for this, I was at the another night called Diva, Life from Hell, which is Luke Bayer's one-man show, again. Basically, he plays the devil, or a devil-esque character, Life from Hell. And again, one-man show.
Yeah,
singing and moving around, interaction with the audience and stuff. It was really, really good. That's at the Turbine Theatre. And it's one of those kind of shows that I think would do really well in those kind of little fringy theatres like the Turbine and stuff.
I like Turbine.
And it's very well received. It was extended by another 2 weeks because it did phenomenally well. And Luke Bay, you know, he's a really good performer. I saw him when he was in Jamie. Everyone's talking about Jamie.
Yes.
He was the understudy, but then he took over on a lot of performances as well. So,
yeah,
it was fun. It was fun.
Was he in something at the Charing Cross Theatre? It was like a Christmas show.
Yeah,
a couple of years back, I can't remember what it was called.
Possibly.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
He's a really good performer.
I remember the name. Good. You saw Jack
Absolute flies again.
At the Nash.
At the Nash. It was very hit and miss. Like, I loved it. No, it was in the Olivier.
Oh.
I loved it. The critics were very divided. Caroline Quinton, who is just comedy gold. Oh, just brilliant. And then there was the very handsome Kelvin Fletcher. And it was... it was so well done. I mean, it was very, very funny. It's set in wartime. It's an airfield. Jack Absolute is a character that flies.
Pilot.
Obviously, he's a pilot. Yes, he is. And Cameron Quinton's character, she is playing this kind of like To the Manor Born-esque mm-hmm. person who's trying to be posh by getting all of her words wrong.
Right.
So it's very much like she's very
like
funny.
Like Mrs. Malaprop.
Yeah. It's very, okay. Yes. It's funny because she gets everything so, so wrong and she doesn't realise it.
Okay.
And it's just how people react to it and stuff like that. But it's a comedy farce. I mean, it's, nice. it's misidentity and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, what goes on, you know, in those kind of...
that's finished now. But
it has, sadly. But it was.
But if it came back,
if it came
go
back,
to where it went to West End on transfer, then
yeah,
go and see it.
I don't think it would transfer. I don't think the reviews were good enough. But it mm-hmm. was... Yeah, if it tours or anything like that, I'd recommend it because it was fun. It was just light and funny. Some people had a problem with the ending. I actually mm-hmm. didn't mind the ending, but, you know, I won't spoil it for those that may want to go and see it. But, yeah, just to have Caroline Quinton back on stage was just the winning formula for
good.
Me.
I saw The Tempest at the Globe.
How was that?
Well, Darren. So I took a school trip. I took my GCSE students. My sole purpose is to inspire my students and a young generation to love Shakespeare as much as I love Shakespeare and as much as I was inspired by my teacher, the late Miss Bibbins. Now,
mm-hmm.
this production, I'm not sure what was going on with the director's concept. I'm going to be quite outspoken on this one. It did not make the story any easier for students to understand. And it is an easy storyline. Obviously, there's several little plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many things that were confusing that it was just really not helpful. And something that the theatre, that the Globe Theatre are doing at the moment as well, unless you really ask and move, is that when you're block booking for students, they are putting you in a restricted view area. So it doesn't help at all. We're at the side. It's the Globe Theatre. It's thrust. It's meant to be playing to all three sides. At no point did anyone, apart from on the bows, play to us. And that was really disappointing. So my students switched off. They weren't interested, which is so, so sad. These kids have done a production of Midsummer Night's Dream. They were beautiful when they did that production a year and a half ago. So, yeah, it was really sad. Ferdy Roberts was brilliant. A friend of mine, he played Prospero. He was great. But some interesting concept ideas. Not sure why Prospero's in his pants throughout the whole thing. Yes, he's on a desert island. I guess it's the Speedos. It's beach attire,
yeah.
But it didn't make sense. I'm curious as to why Miranda was in red. She's a virgin. Normally we see her in linens, in white robes, symbolic of red, maybe lust for Ferdinand. I don't know. Just a lot of things that were questionable and confusing. I'll park that one there. I don't think it helped. There was a lot of things where they were playing to the tourists and the crowds. So the bit when they're looking for clothing in the treasure chest, they all get dressed up as Hagrid and Harry Potter and stuff. Not funny. Maybe if you're a tourist and you're there, you're watching Shakespeare, but don't understand the language, it's funny. Someone's in their Speedos. Someone else is doing this. We're in a box and we're spraying water at it to show the storm. We've got the king being played by a woman with a badly painted on moustache. We couldn't even see her because she's in a crate.
Oh, dear.
From the side.
Shakespeare will be turning in his grave.
This was not like Much Ado About Nothing that I highly, highly, highly recommended at the National Theatre. So, yeah.
I have to say, the programming at the Globe is very hit and miss. I mean, you know, let's see what happens when Tamara Harvey and Daniel Evans takes over next April as the new artistic directors. They've got to do something because I've not been very thrilled by anything there for a long time.
Not for a long time.
No,
not since
such a shame.
Not since Emma Rice was there with Wise Children. She put on some good stuff, in my opinion, because I think she's brilliant. There you go. So that's that. Life of Pi
is going to close, finish its run in January, I think it is. If you haven't seen it, definitely go and see it. It's visually absolutely wonderful. If you know the book or you've seen the film, it's very true to that. It's very beautifully done. A wonderful performances. The Tiger won the Olivier, funny enough.
I remember when we were at the Olivier's. I mean, obviously, we're sat in different parts, but watching that snippet did make me go, I must go and see this. So I have actually booked it. I'm seeing it in October.
Just don't sit on the front row. The front row have very cheap tickets. And normally in the front row, you think, yeah, you're going to get a good view. The stage is so high. Like, literally, I booked the front row for my parents. They had to be moved because my mother is 5'1". And she literally, even with looking up, couldn't see absolutely nothing. But there was a big hoo-ha box office. Well, not very happy with the box office at the Wyndham Theatre. Just have to say that out loud. Because the way they handled all this was actually quite atrocious. But that's a story for another time. I did email them in and stuff, and they made a report to the producer, but who never got back to me. Obviously, he doesn't really care about what his customers think. So there you go. His audiences are dwindling as they are. Well, I have booked Circle
on your recommendation for students for Life of Pi for sort of October, November.
Hmm.
So looking forward to that. I saw Pretty Woman. Let's change the tone. Pretty Woman,
walking down the street.
Do you know what? This was such a feel-good midweek musical. I really enjoyed Danny Mack's performance. He played Edward Lewis. Yeah. I saw him in White Christmas a couple of years back.
He's good.
And Amy Atkinson, she does a great job as Vivian Ward. Because, Julia Roberts is a hard act to follow. I think audiences are going expecting the character to look a little bit like her. You know, obviously you're not expecting it to be exactly the same film. There were a couple of moments so I was like... She's meant to be in a negligee on the piano, not in underwear. There's a couple of moments I was like, where is the tie moment? He needs to get the tie.
The
tie's not there.
No.
And then there was another bit, runner in my pantyhose, that's not in it. And the other bit, when the husband and wife are at the counter and Kit leans over and says what she says.
$50, anyway. Wife and watch,
Clean podcast. So clever use of songs, really quite catchy. It had me listening to the soundtrack on the way to work the next morning. I love the Savoy, and this is the first time that I've sat in the dress circle. Normally I'm in the stalls somewhere, sort of near the tech box, and that overhang is not great when you're in the stalls, I've noticed. But now that I was in the circle, I was the overhang, and my God, the view is amazing. So it was like the third view of the dress circle. You can see everything, and it was amazing. Had a wonderful night. What do I need to say about this? I love the clever narrator character. So that everybody goes to Harlem.
Oh, yes.
So you've got this guy, What's Your Dream? And then he becomes the hotel manager. So he kind of goes all the way through the storyline, which is really, really clever. And he's also got all these bellhops that are clearly very camp. And there's a moment where he teaches her how to dance before she goes out for dinner.
Oh, cute.
A brilliant tango sort of A Night Like Tonight send up. There's a great track there. Some great choreography. And the opera sequence, brilliant.
I've booked it for the 12th of October. So perfect. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Finally.
I can't wait to talk to you about it. But yeah, it's so clever theatrically what they've done with, they've fused the 80s music with the opera. Beautiful. Really good. Yes. I have nothing bad to say about that production. I loved it.
It's just celebrated its 500th performance.
I saw that. Yeah. So love that. Highly recommend that. Can't believe it's taken me that long to see it. The only thing that was disappointing is... someone that I interviewed back in the podcast quite a while ago, he was not in the performance that night. It was his night off because it was his birthday.
Birthday.
And I was like, I would have liked to have seen him in the show. But anyway, so that was great. What else have you seen?
Another one-man show. another one. Walking with Ghosts.
Okay.
Which is a Gabriel Burns show. Again, it's very much based on his life, as a young Irish man growing up, moving to New York. Very mixed emotions, moments when you're like, wow, very like deeply saddened by some of the experiences he's had in his childhood. And then the kind of like the recovery that he's had. Mm. He's an alcoholic. He's been in recovery for over 20 years, and you can really see the recovery in him. The way he talks about the child abuse he had, he had child abuse from priests when he was younger, but it's the way he talks about it. He's not bitter. He's not angry. It's just, you know, matter of fact, this is what happened to me and this is where I am right now. Very beautifully portrayed. He's a wonderful actor anyway. Yeah, and that was just on for 14 performances. And it goes to Broadway for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So if any of our listeners are in Broadway, definitely recommend it.
We've got quite a lot of American listeners, actually.
I'm very proud of that. Yeah, but yeah, definitely Walking with Ghosts. Recommend it when it opens on Broadway.
Fabulous. I saw Book of Mormon. I can't believe it's taken. When did it start? 2013?
Something like that.
And this is the first time I've gone. I've been holding out for the last few years because Next Pupil of Mine is on the UK tour, which seems to come nowhere near London. And so I was like, if I'm going to see it, I'm going to see him in it. He actually recently did 3 shows in the West End, but I found out on Instagram way too late. But so finally I went to see it and this is musical comedy at its finest. I think as well, so many people had said it's like Marmite, that you're either going to love it or hate it. And I thought, what if I'm going to hate it?
Well, then you hate it.
But so it always kind of just ended up going down and down, further down my list because other things came in. But this was hilarious. It's controversial, obviously. It's laugh out loud. It is such a fun show. There is so much energy. I'd had a sneaky listen to the first 3 or 4 tracks on the soundtrack before I went to see it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the 4th track when they go to Africa. And I was like laughing so much just listening to it in the kitchen while I was cooking. And this was a great Tuesday evening. It was a religious satire, musical comedy. The tap dancing sequence on Turn It Off, just, I literally had tears rolling down my face. And you know, their strapline is, it leaves you stitches of laughter. It genuinely did. I don't think I have had so much fun at the theatre as I had last Tuesday evening. It was hilarious. And I would definitely go and see it again.
I saw the original cast back when it first opened. So I'm kind of like...
In 2013.
So almost about nearly 10 years ago, yeah.
I still remember recommend
well.
This
I don't movie. Even know if I need to see it again, to be fair. It's not one of those musicals I need to run again. I don't know. I mean, there's still much of it that plays heavily on my mind in a good way. But it's definitely, like you said, Marmite, love
I've been
it,
listening
it.
To the soundtrack. Like, I know the words off by heart on about 4 of the tracks. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But
you should do it with your kids.
Really not appropriate. It's 17 plus, so let's just pop that out there.
Okay.
So not even really a sick form trip.
From your comedy, I saw quite a bleak play at the King's Head Theatre. It was written by, which is actually funny enough, my aunt's sister, Nina Atesh. Yes. It's her first play. Mm-hmm. It was really well received. It's gone on to do another week actually at a festival at the Hen and Chickens, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Later on this month. Definitely worth seeing. It's a 3-hander. The whole premise is this whole thing as if the water of the earth just disappeared and it's set on this ship that just gets moored in the middle of what would have been the ocean.
Mm.
And it's the lives of the men there. And what they're doing about it, and it's very significant as what's happening to the climate change and global warming and all this kind of stuff, which is actually happening in our world. But it won the 2011 London Horror Playwriting Competition.
Hmm.
But definitely worth seeing, I think. I haven't been back to the King's Head for a while, but that was one thing I'm really pleased I got to saw. But like I said, I mainly saw it because of my connection to my aunt's sister. But I'm really pleased. Really pleased for her. And hopefully she'll go on to do bigger and better things.
Absolutely. Well, I'll come and see the next one, defo. Now, The Crucible at the National Theatre. So we've both seen quite a few things at the Nash recently. Mm-hmm. So this is at the Olivier. So this is literally gone straight in after Jack Absolute, I think. And so this is Arthur Miller. This is the National Theatre, you know, producing some of their best stuff. A triumph, a really effective piece. All the review. I went on press night, took my sick formers, and so it literally only opened last week. And this is, you know, it's probably most of our listeners know, it's a parable about power and its abuse. The director, Lindsay Turner, the set design, if nothing else, it's worth going to see the set. I don't want to spoil it too much other than the fact that I've put a nice, great photo of it on the Instagram. But yeah, if you want to see rain effect on stage, there you go. So Ez Devlin.
Is it substance over matter type thing? Like, no. Does it add value to the piece, this rain on the stage? Or was it just a bit of like, you know, this looks pretty.
It was really effective, but then it was reused quite a few times, which it maybe didn't need to be because they had it and it was obviously expensive.
But it's we've got a rain machine, let's just use it.
It was powerful, and I guess it's the whole sort of microcosm, macrocosm, you know, witchcraft, the weather, all witches. Of that, you know. So did you just say you love witches?
Love witches.
Okay.
Well, just saw Hocus Pocus
coming up
too.
To Halloween.
I loved it.
But Eileen Walsh was very good as Elizabeth Proctor, and Erin Doherty, Abigail Williams, and Brendan Cowell as John Proctor. They were all strong. The ensemble of girls was quite haunting, costumes effective. But yeah, this is obviously about the Salem witch trials, which was his social comment on McCarthyism and about voicelessness and suddenly these girls having all this power over their whole community. It was gripping, and I took sixth form with me and they were enthralled. And if they're engaged and enthralled, then that's wonderful.
Especially 17-year-olds, which is normally challenging.
Two of them found it quite, you know, takes emosh. There was emosh. I was like, we need to run for the train now. Can we not be so emosh? But that was good. So yeah, it was, that was definitely worth.
Okay. I'll check it out too. Yeah, definitely. Have a look at that. The Eureka Day. Oh my God. Helen Hunt. Oh, can't do any wrong.
See this.
Yes, definitely go and see it. Book your ticket. I really enjoyed it. I had front row.
The prices have whooshed up on this.
I had front row, middle. I mean, Helen was literally spitting at me. Like, it was amazing.
This is a good front row.
This is a good front row, not a high stage, not a Life of Pi, no. All the cast were brilliant. I mean, Mark McKinney, if you know him from Superstore fame on Netflix. Oh, he's so funny. And in this as well, I mean, it's brilliantly done. And it's actually a very important story, and if anyone doesn't know anything about it, it's all about team anti-vaxxing, team vaxxing, and it's set in a children's primary school, and a child gets sick because they weren't inoculated against a certain thing, and it's all the kind of like feelings towards the positives of being inoculated for something and the negatives and stuff, and it really does handle the story very, very well with regards to both arguments. In
is
a
it
very
about
humorous.
COVID, though?
No, nothing about COVID. No. It's set in 1997, so it's before. No. It's about vaccines in general, and it's about what, you know, should you vaccinate your children for certain things? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have kids. I can't comment. I'm not going to comment on this kind of thing. But ultimately, it was very funny, but also incredibly powerful. The emotion that came out of Helen putting her character's point across, it was so beautifully done. And then with the humor and stuff played by Mark and some of the other characters, it was so well done. And there's this scene on the back wall where they have this Zoom call. And you know, in Zoom, people do private messaging and stuff, and you've got all these messages coming up. And there's all these messages coming up behind them when they're doing their conversation. And it's hilarious. When it starts off really kind of calm
don't,
and nice.
Don't
and it
tell
just
us everything,
ends.
Because I'm probably going to go and see this
it's
week.
It's absolutely brilliant. I really would recommend it. And it's had really strong critic notices as well. So yeah, definitely. If you can get a ticket, just, you know, spend the money, go and see. You're not going to see Helen Hunt on the stage, especially with this cast ever again. So
okay, I need to book that before everyone else does. So before we release this, so that I make sure I get my ticket, because the prices have gone up really high on this. You also saw Upstart Crow.
I did.
Which I saw way before COVID. I saw it the
2019.
The previews when that first came out. It was literally still, you could tell that, you know, they needed more notes, and there was a couple of false exits and entrance. There was a couple of things that went a little bit wrong.
It's a fast, you know, it's fine.
But I love the TV show. Love it.
I haven't seen the TV show, but I did really love it. I mean, David Mitchell and Gemma Whelan, you know, comedy gold, the great partnership there. I really enjoyed it. And David playing Shakespeare, you could just imagine Shakespeare probably being something like that character.
Yeah.
You know, coming up with all these, not coming up with the ideas, that's the point. Like, you know, other people around him coming up with the ideas, and then he following through with creating the plays and stuff. But it was just, so it was well done. It was well staged. Yeah. I was there at a gala, which technically was their second press night. So Ben Elton was there, obviously met the cast. Said hello to Ben. He just kind of smiled at me and walked off. I was like, okay, fine. Thank you very much. But, you know, it was, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You haven't seen the TV show, so you saw it in its own right, whereas I was an absolute fan of the TV show, and some of the characters that are in the TV show aren't in the stage show. So I felt that kind of like, oh, it was like in Pretty Woman. It's like, where was the tie moment? Where was it? I was waiting for certain things, and yeah, so I kind of, I don't know, there was something missing for me. Maybe if I saw it again, having not watched the TV show for 3 years, I'd enjoy it more.
I don't know.
I went to
the opening of the new Soho Place Theatre. They did a soft launch of three nights where they had the Comedy Store Players just doing like an hour improv thing, just to kind of give the staff practice on, you know, how to usher in people, what the bar's going to do, that kind of thing. So I was one of the lucky ones that got invited to do that. The venue is beautiful. The actual first thing that's going up there is Marvelous, which opens very soon. Definitely worth seeing. The venue is great. Got a nice bar you can just hang out in. They've got a late license. It's 1920s decor inside. It's the first theatre that's been built in the West End for something like 50 odd years. So check out anything that's going on there. Just
this is
to support
the new.
Them.
So this is Soho Place Theatre. So this is not Soho Theatre.
No, no, Soho Place Theatre.
So
no, it's owned by NIMAX.
Well.
It's Nika Burns' new baby. So it's nice. NIMAX's new theatre. Nika Burns' own project. And she was there. Yeah. No, she's great. All good fun. But it's a beautiful versatile venue. At the minute, it's all in the round, and then it will change around and stuff for later on. But that's what I've got for this month.
Well, all I've got. I think we've got quite a lot. So. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they've got at Soho Place Theatre. And then yesterday I saw The Commitments musical.
What a great! I saw it at the West End.
Yeah,
when it was at the Palace Theatre.
It was out years, and then they did a whole tour. So this is literally the end of their first week on the tour. They were at Bromley Playhouse, so it was really nice. What with the train strikes, to stay local and watch some local theatre. A great show, great cast. And predominantly an Irish cast, so they've been authentic, which is wonderful. And, it's all about the music, really. And the cast are really talented because they're actors and they're musicians. Most of them are playing a musical instrument on stage. Yeah. And then there's a small band of five out back as well. This is definitely one to watch. It's coming to sort of Dartford and other theatres just on the periphery of London. So definitely go and see it. It's, I think March time it'll be Dartford. So literally definitely something, it got a standing ovation at the end.
It was
sold out. It was sold out for the whole of the Bromley run. So there you go.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Love that.
So booking for October, what have you got?
Well, Pretty Woman. Seeing that.
And I'm going to see Eureka Day. So
there
thanks
you go.
For that. And I'm seeing Moulin Rouge. I saw it on Broadway and I'm finally going to see it in London, so I'm really looking forward to that. I've booked Caucasian Chalk Circle, which opens shortly. That's over at the Rose,
that. Absolutely
in
need
Kingston.
To see that. It's
a bit
of a trek, but the play is just so wonderful that it's possibly worth going to see. I'm predominantly doing films next month because of the BFI Film Festival, but there will be some theatre involved there. So
I booked Life of Pi and Back to the Future. They're coming up, and we both said that we need to see The Doctor because we'd originally booked that pre-COVID, and then it was cancelled. So we're both going to go and see that at some point. So a full month and lots that we're going to see.
Why not grab a ticket to one of the shows mentioned in this podcast? Please tune in next month and recommend us to your friends and family.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Theatre Audience Podcast or on Twitter at Theatre Audie Pod. And do send us any recommendations of things you think we should see.
Please leave a review. Remember, Theatre World needs you, so please go see everything you can.
Until next time, goodbye and thanks for listening.